Father, I tell you, the man whom you love, you see him face to face, then you are going to praise him, you see. And another man who has not seen the man whom he loves, then he praises him. There is a vast distance or not? So he says there is a vast distance for 100 men between you and me, and we will never come to any, you see, reconciliation, because I see and then say, you simply quote books, scriptures. That is one reason. And further also you give other reasons too.
Nachata Sudhan Hari.
He says, whenever I make any statement, I tell people, they come to me, I explain to them, their difficulties are solved. The things that they do not understand, they become very clear cut to them, you see. The man who sees, well, he says, why it is that I have seen that, huh? The man who has seen, he has got some weight in his talk, you see, in his words. With full conviction, he says. I told you, tell you, once when my master was in the body, you see, it is some question, I think an incident about 20 years back, he went to a station in the Punjab, Rawalpindi city, and some teachers of a high school came up to me, and they said they had certain questions to be, that they would like answer to them. All right, we sat at one place, they asked them what questions were what. Then they put their questions, all of them, then I gave replies. When three were satisfied, two more put further questions, and I did reply, and they kept quiet after that. Then, after keeping quiet, I also kept quiet, you see, for 2 or 3 minutes, and one man just came forward and said, well, is it all true what you said? Then I looked at him, you see, I told him, well, look at my face, look at me, do you betray the slightest ray of doubt in my talk? He said, no. That's all right. When you say something, what you have seen, you speak with authority, you see. You have no doubt about it. Because you see, that's one reason, you see. You see, whenever Kabir says, whenever I explain things to the people, there all doubts are removed. They see things very clear cut. And when you say, poor fellows already do not follow many things, you put in so circuitous way that they arouse more doubts into them. It's a matter of seeing only, you see. He said that's the second reason, you see. That's the second reason why your mind will never again. There is vast difference between the man who has seen the place, he gives description, however he may be reading the books to you, of that very reason he thinks he has seen, you see. Well, he is not dependent on the books, I tell you. He has seen the place what others have seen. Even if those books are not taken up, he will see what he has seen and what is known in those books who have seen, you see. Why we take up these pictures? The reason is only that makes the work of the mass easier, you see. Suppose you come to a Christian and just tell him, hey, here it is in the Bible given like that, he is satisfied. He has nothing to doubt about it. He takes certain things as standard quote. If you go to some six gentlemen, you simply quote from the six scriptures, oh, that's all. Well, Mohammedan, when you go, you quote him something from the Quran and other their scriptures, the whole thing. So that is why masters sometimes do take up this thing, but they are not, I mean, dependent on the books, you see, on the scriptures, because they have seen those things which are given in the scriptures, you see. So he says, well, I have seen it, you, I say, whatever things are not written, it is like that, I have seen it. Ne? The people are satisfied. And when you say, you simply quote here, there, everywhere, you do not know how yourself, where you stand, and how the people hearing you will be convinced of those truths. That is the second reason why my mind and your mind will never agree, you see. Now further he has been more. Yes.
Matatato jagat raiya surata hai sunre.
He says the third reason is, when I always tell the people to wake up, I always say, wake up. I think these words were used almost by all masters. Old Vedas say, awake. It means we are asleep somewhere. And where we are asleep? We are souls. Our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is swayed by the organs of sense. We are identified with the body and the outer world so much so that we cannot now differentiate whether we are the indweller of the house or the body. We are as if we are asleep in the body. We know nothing about it. Like a sleeping man doesn't know where he is. Similarly, we are in the body, quite identified with the body, and we cannot differentiate ourselves from the body. So I would say we are asleep, you see, in delusion. He says, Veda say, awake, arise, and stop not until the goal is reached. This is what also the fifth guru of the sixth says, you see. Awake, O man, why are you sleeping? The goal destination is still far ahead, you see, that is it. We have first to awaken our body, you see, we have to become conscious of our own self in the body. We have to analyze ourselves from the body, then know what we are, you see, the first step. Only then we can just have a way up, back to God. So that is the same, well, I always say, well, wake up for people, and you say, well, all right, what you are, what are you doing, that's all right, that is sufficient. You got this body, your body belongs to some social living, go on performing the rituals, the ceremonials, the other, I mean, formalism and other things described by social living, go on living that way, that's all sufficient. You just get salvation by doing that with only. He said, no, I lost the decision. Of course, man is social. He has to live in some social body. These social bodies are social regions that are formed for the uplift of man. These are made for the man. Man was not made for these. That's just as Christ said. Sabbath was made for the man, and man was not made for the Sabbath. We have to make the best use of it. We have to remain in some social body. Remain where you are. Just live up to the rules laid down by them, you see. To remain in any social living is a blessing, I will tell you. Otherwise, there will be corruption in the world, you see. And even if you revolt against the social religion, suppose you have got 10,000, 20,000 people of that view, then again you will have to form a society. Again, set some rules to go by. Then would it not be better to stand where you are and just, if there is any correction, believe it, and then just put in the whole time for the search of your own self and God, you see? So that is the second reason, you see? Why? He says, well, look here, you simply tell people that all that's all a Hindu says. Have you had form and perform the rituals prescribed by the Hindu social religion, and that's how you'll get emancipation. And the Christians have to say the same thing. Mohammedans, they say the same thing. Then he said, I never said like that. I simply said, anything, even wake up. Your body, physical body, you are something else, you are the indwelling of the body. Just analyze yourself from the physical body and know yourself, who you are, what you are. Only then you will be able to know God. This is what I say. The vast difference between the two. Whenever such like masters came into the world, you see, those people who were just of the letter type, they simply took up arms against them, you see. What did Christ do? They have made the synagogues as the places of worship, as places of business, you see. And he went out, well, go ye out from the synagogues. Yeah. Made it his business home. This is the house of my father for saying prayers, you see. This is what happened. You simply don't let go on. You see, if that much also, I think this man who is speaking about the social religion, they are also required, I would say. You see, I have respect for that man. If they do preach correctly, where each social body's highest thing is to turn out perfect man. Be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. And this is also, you see, Kabir also says so many instances by giving it, ultimately comes to that very result, you see. But he says, all right, you just be like a cloud of earth, like. And he says, no, that's not a good idea, you see, that simply hurts the birds, you see. Then again he says, all right, you may be like dust. He says, no, well, that ideal also not the good one, because just be smear the clothes. Then he says, all right, you may be like water, you see. He says, no, that's also not the good idea. Because water sometimes it is hot, sometimes it is cold. Then he said, what should be a man like? He said, a man should be like God himself. So that's the goal, the soul is social religion. You see? And for that they lay down two ways. You see, the outer, certain social body, certain rules to go by, so that they may have a part this earthly sojourn in a peaceful way to become a good world citizen. To just lead ethical lives. Come, I mean, the help of all other humanity and pass your days in peace. But that was also not the be all and end all. They wanted other things to be known, well, who you are, what you are, know thyself and then know God. That was the ultimate goal. But this preaching now, you see, this preaching work is not being done by the practical men, that's right, in almost all religions. There are very few who are really practical, more of them taken it as a business, you see. They are paid service, naturally. They will have to pay those things which have taken up because they are paid for it. They know the way. If they don't know straight, if they tell things of their own, they will simply turn out. In all religions I see like that. So even if they just preach the correct thing, well, all religions are made up of whom, you see? Men. Socially. Men's highest goal is perfection. So they have to turn out good, I mean perfect men. Instead of that, and they will preach that God is one, love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might and strength, you see? And as God resides in every heart, you love all humanity. What the preachers do, you see, in almost all religions they say, no, look here, the social religion that you are about, that is the highest, you see. Until you adopt that, profess that, say, you are nowhere. In all religions they preach like this. The result is clash between class and class. The purpose is to unite men, but they simply go to separating. Master's job is to unite. He makes all men of all denominations sit on one common ground because he's lover of humanity. He loves the souls residing in everybody, you see. There's no difference to him whether a man belongs to one country, one social religion or the other. You see? He loves all. That's the first criterion of the master. He does not come for any particular social religion. He comes for all humanity as a whole. For his teaching is for all humanity. He would not touch the outer social part of the show, all I remain where you are. Just like, as Christ said, render things that are Caesar's unto Caesar. Render things that are God's to God. See? So your souls are of God, you see? Then, devote to God, that's all. So that's the master's way, you see? Once it so happened, in the life of my master, something new high, you see? When he went to a place called Multan in the Punjab, there was a great, this social religion, you see, fight out of bigotry and narrow minded, and they're very, you see, I mean, become very, sometimes, result in murders and such like that. There was great fight between the Hindus and the Mohammedans in Multan, you see. And our master just went over there after 2 or 3 months. When he went there, he just gave his speech, what he had to say. Those Mohammedans came up and told him, had you been here before, there would have been no fight whatsoever, you see. So master comes to unite men, not to separate men, you see, not to leave. Then I am only showing the outer side of the thing, you see. How corruption has spread, in, you see, due to the paid, excuse me, speaking of. Almost in all religions. I do meet, you see, I have been at the center of the Punjab and center of India too, you see, both places, because I was just only 24 years now, 30 years back when I came to the feet of the master. So, he just charged me just to go around and carry out this satsang work, you see. So I came across this home and then preachers of the other religions too, you see. When the things were explained to them, they said, yes, what you say is correct for what you do. Our belly comes, you question all the money. If you say so, we do realize, but we cannot touch those left that way. If you do say it, how does this our job is gone? So that's the outer way. That is what Kavi is referring. He tells him, look here, you, I simply wake up. You are not the physical body. You are the indweller of the house. The outer things are elementary things. That's the preparation of the ground, not the be-all and end-all of life. Remain where you are, you see. You are welcome. You are fortunate. But until you take a step further, to just analyze yourself, know God, then you cannot have a good space. This is my, what I say. You see, this is all right, pass on where you are, that's all right. God will forgive you. And this everywhere, you see, people go in. He says, here, your mind can never agree. I will always tell you the straight thing, you see. And you simply say, for the sake of things you are carrying. That is why your mind and my mind can never agree. That is the third reason, you see. You just see the vast difference between the two. The learned man and the practical man. You see, you can simply stand. People are, many people you find like that, they are under that impression. Because you have taken a certain social religion, you just forgive. Then not. Then, alright, take it for a moment that is true. Well, Christians say that you have taken up the Christian religion, they will be saved over. And Mohammedans say, who have taken the Mohammedanism, they will be saved only because they believe in Prophet Mohammed only. See? And Buddha says, Buddha says, those who believe in the Buddha, they will be saved, no other. The Sikhs say in their own way, then who is the true man? You are. So that is why Kavi said to that learned man, well, my and your mind will never end. For these reasons. That is why, you see, whenever masters came up, those people who were just narrow-minded, stuck to the outer forms of the religion only, they took up war against them. That was the only reason, because they affected their bellies. Any of the masters do not say you leave one social religion or did not. They never touch or remain with you. Your social being must remain in some social body. And that is just like, you see, when a child is going to be born, you see, the midwife helps in bringing out the child, you see. She does not give birth to the child, but helps in bringing for the child. That's all the religions are. You have to make the best use of them. This is a clear-cut view they just placed before the world. And all fallacy, you see, go down. He sees things and tells, that's all. But
Rākata nirvahi raya Pūjata mohire.
He says further, what I preach, be well, they are saying you, how long as you live in this life, physical life, remain unattached. You see? You are an exile. These are only temporary abode you have got, this body. You have to leave it once. Just learn how to rise above the body consciousness, leave the body at will. Kabir says, well, learn to die, you see, 100 times a day, really, you see. And here also, Christ also say the same thing, you see, just begin to die. So that you may be able to learn to live, you see. I die daily, St. Paul said. And since the other states also say the same thing, die before you die. You at least learn how to die, how to leave the body. St. Plutarch said, you see, soul experiences, when it leaves the body, experience has the same experiences as those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond. Learn how to transcend the body, that's it. You learn there are natural ways to transcend the body, and there are also difficult ways which involve prana system, etc. Those are time consuming and everybody is not fit for those matters, is it? So master take up only the natural way so that even the child can do it. In the child of 5 years has that experience of just forgetting and see things for his own self, with it. He opens his inner eye and sees the light of God, you see. And he will be master within him. So he says this is thirdly. But you cannot be unattached by simply, intellectually. But when you really analyze yourself, come about the body, you see this body, the flower of earth, daily you leave the body. Naturally, your inner attachment to the body is cut off. All other outward attachments come through the body. So, you are cut off from inside. Creator is more, you see, beautiful than creation, all creation. All glory and beauty lies within you. When you go within to transcend the body, you have that sublime experience within you, ineffable and sweet. Naturally, outward attachments leave you. So he says, I tell the people, all please just live with the world, but yet always remain unattached. And you say, all right, that's all right. This is your duty, first and foremost duty. You perform this and that thing. But that's how you're telling people. And poor fellows never have the time to think that they have to leave the body someday, all at once death overtakes, and they are nowhere. Because they do not know how to talk and leave the body. Here, this is false. Why my mind and your mind will never agree. See the vast difference between the two, you see. What are they preaching? They don't preach any ism, I tell you. They simply preach the science of soul. Who you are, what you are. You're the soul body, you see. How to analyze yourself from the body, transcend the body. Rise above the body consciousness. This is the practical question where their teachings start, you see. ABC of the teachings of the master start when you just rise above the body consciousness. That is why it is said, you see, where the world philosophy ends, there the religion starts. True religion means going back to God, you see, linking yourself with divine link within. That's all. That's the true religion. Your social form has their own rules to live by. You have to live in the world. You are a social being, must have some social body to live in, and that is also required. Thanks, we remain there. But that is not the be all and end all. He said, for these reasons, well, learned man, your and my mind will never end. How clearly he puts all these things, you see? Now you can also differentiate between the master and the master, you see? Who sees light, sees God, he can open your inner eye to see him. Who is detached from the body, day to day, rises above the body, will just give you first an experience how to transcend the body daily. And by regular practice you become efficient, and at any time you can go off, leave the body at home. And that also in a quite natural way. As I just told you, there are ways and ways. Some are natural ways, and natural ways are always easier, you see, and give quicker results. I've seen, you see, even in the time of my master, and now even with the grace of my master, you see. Even the children get experience. They see what even the very learned man do not see. So he said that's the fourth reason, my, your mind, or learned man would never end. He says now, he tells about his past lives, you see. He says, I have been coming in all the four ages, you see, in the golden age, in the silver age, in the copper age, and now I have also come, you see. And he has given at another place his names also in those ages, you see. He says, I was called as Satsukrat. My name was Satsukrat in the golden age. Then my name was as Karnamaya in the second age, and Munindar in the third age, and now I am called a Kabir. He says, I have been coming in all the four ages and teaching people these very thoughts. And very few people did come up to listen to this. People go on blindfolded, go on like anything else. They have no time to think even. Excuse me, if they are just living or saying prayers, majority of them you will find they are only saying prayers, attending the places of holy worship for the sake of the worldly things, you see. There are some people who really hanker after God, but many of them, majority of them, you'll find those people attending all these sacred places, you see, of holy worship. When you go and ask them, why are you going? He says, well, my son is sick, I want to see the joy. My livelihood is not good, I pray God may give me that. We are worshipping God for the sake of the world, you see. As a medium to having the world as our the only ideal in life, you see. So truly speaking, we are worshippers of not God, but worshippers of the world, you see, in our own things. Because they see that God is a medium to have the worldly thing, that is why. See? How many there are who really worship God for God's sake? That's the difference between the two. He says, when you come out, that's all right. What you say? Man, we have to pass it. Holidays and so. So after all, man has to leave the body. No exception to the rule. Nobody can help you at the time, I tell you. The most sympathetic man, you see, maybe your wife, your husband, your brother, your sister, your friend, they cannot help you. Just at the time of agony, you have passed through the agony, how to leave the body. You do not know how to leave the body, that is why you have to pass through agony, you see. You have seen some dying men, how pitiful he is. In what condition he is, but your strength, simple stand by standing, cannot do anything for him. Had you been as set at the feet of some master, he would have let you know the very first day how to transcend the body. And when you had kept on, that's why you could have left the body at will any time, 100 times a day. And if death does overtake you, you are not afraid, you'll be simply overjoyed, you see. Because you know how to transcend and have the experience of the beyond, which is more beautiful than the outer world, you see, more glorious. So Kavi said, I have been coming in all the 4 ages, but the people were so much so attached to the outer thing that they, very few of them did listen to this. Yeah. He said, well, look, you learned man, I have to tell you straight truth in your face. You are somebody whose husband is not alive. You are a widow. You see? And you have had no experience of God, you see. You simply tell other people what is given in the book. So, come on, I will give you. They just tell you like anything. But as you have not seen yourself, how can you let others see? You see? So you have just spoiled your life. You have deceived yourself in telling others that you know things whereas you do not know actually. Poor fellows are deceived, you see. They come up to you, run up to you after some days, they find you are the same man as they are. The same that they have become, ultimately I think even afraid of taking the name of a master, you see. So you are a widow like, you see, you have never seen your husband, then let other people see it. How can you let other people see? You have simply spoiled your life, man body, you see. And those who come to you, they are simply deceiving them, not come to the right quarters, because you are simply acting for this level. How dreadful is this? He said all that in his face. He said, I'm helpless, you see, I have to say the truth in your face, you see. You have spoiled your life, you have deceived yourself, and you have deceived all the world over. You see? Then further he adds something more. He said the world is now without a two master. Two masters are there. But what are they like? They said they are the pole. The two masters are the pole on which the body, on which the God works, you see. The feet, Alexander, are the feet of God, just works through that pole and is flowing into the river to just draw people closer to God. You see? There are two masters like that. At whose pole, you see, that is what he said of these masters, they are the mouthpiece of God. They speak as inspired by God. You see? They were the conscious co-workers of the divine plan. The salt. They had that eye, inner eye open with which he saw God is everywhere, you see, beholding God. And whoever came to him, he just opened their single eye to see that light of God. He said, there are like true masters like that in the world, you see, go to his feet. And just sit at the feet and just imbibe as drink. The sweet elixir of life running through him, you see. Just sit at his feet. And your life's aim will be fulfilled. This ultimately gives him that. The world is fed up with the masters, I tell you. Every city, every town, every country is full of masters. But really, they are masters of rare, you see. Kabir says, you see at one place, that true diamonds, true rubies are there. But these imitations of rubies are many. You find anywhere have from Banaras, but the true rubies you find in some jeweler's shop, you see. very valuable thing. Again he says that all jungles, you see, do not have lions in them. They are all lions, very rare. You see? They do. Similarly, he says their saints are the max rare, you see. When they come as children of light, it gives light to the whole world over, not for one social link, nor the least. Similarly, the masses are rare. They do not move just in, I mean, groups. They are there, just like lions in the jungle, you see. Similar, they are there. Until you come to that, what is the alchemy? They are just the overflowing of the love of God. Love of God overflows through them. They are in contact with God. They are intoxicated. They have got intoxication of God by really, you know, contact. You see, they imbibe the sweet elixir, you see, of God intoxication through them, and just sit at the feet of somebody like that. You say, your life is being fulfilled. Yes.
कहते कबीर सुनो भाई साधो सब ही वैसा होई रे.
He says, Kabir, when you sit at the feet of the master, you will become just as he is, you see. You rise in him, you will become this, rise into his form, you see. As you think, so you become. There's a difference between a master, you see, and that touchstone. There's some touchstone which you touch with the iron that becomes gold, you see. So, he says that touchstone which just touches the iron that becomes gold, that makes the iron gold not its own self, but the saints, when anybody goes to them, he just makes them rise in their own self, you see. They become, they make other saints out of them, you see. So if you just sit at their feet, they are awakened people, their inner eye is open, you will wake up, you see. You will see things for your own self. No testimony required. And the definition of a true master is given when you go to him, you will begin to see with your own eyes, you see. When you see things for your own eyes, no further testimony would be required, and that is the only criterion of the great master. Kabir gives the definition still further. He says, he lives on his own earnings. He gives some qualifications. He does not live on the donations of others. He does not make money, business out of this profession. This is the first quality. He lives a simple life. He is not acting or posing, he is not a showy man, he is not after show and pomp of the world. And he has the competence when he makes others sit, just he removes that veil from before their eyes and they begin to see God, you see, the light of God. And also hear this voice. These are the qualifications, you see, of the real master. All scriptures speak in volumes about the greatness of such a master, you see. And they say so. Until you come across such a master, your life aim cannot be fulfilled by mere reading the books, not that. Oh, that won't suffice. So outward literary attainments are like a garland of flowers round the neck of a practical man, you see, who sees things. And if he has got no practical experience, and he simply has the books just stored up in his brain, you see, well, he knows. So that's the difference between the master, the true master, and the other masters. Just one more. So naturally for this, such like master you have now. Yeah. God is love. Yes? And our souls are of the same essence as that of God. It is also. Its innate, I mean, attribute is to remain attached with something. It is not attached to the body. attached to the outward things. But these are such like things which are not lasting, you have to leave them. Naturally, when you separate from this, you feel very much worried, you feel sad when leaving them. And the way back to God is also love, you see. Now we have not seen God, as I tell you. How can we love? People say we love God, you see. And it is said, you love God with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. But how can you love somebody whom you have not seen? That I referred to even in the beginning. Unless you have some contact with him. You see him, you just have some feeling, attraction for him. You see? Only then, as a matter of some experience, some bliss that you have derived, you see, as a sweet, only then you can love somebody. And I gave you an example of a sweet mango, you see. Yes, didn't want some sweet mango, and they very sweet, and after months or so, mangoes are very sweet. You see, you had some taste of that. And similarly, when you come in contact with God, only do you get love. Love and all things shall be added unto you, this is what he said. All things shall be added. Love is a great unifying force, I would say. The worldly souls, just when you strike at something that just rends and ascends into two, you see. And love is such a soul when it is struck between the two hearts, they become one, you see. Now we have not seen God, and the pole at which God appears, they are the mouthpiece of God. Naturally, they are the overflowing love of God. When you come in contact with, naturally you feel some existence, some feeling of God. Maulana Rum says that when you come near a master, you see, you just come near it, near God, you see. Because that's the pole on which the God is appeared, you see, appearing, you see. When you come near, you come near to God. When you go away from Him, you go away from God, you see. Similarly, to be at the feet of, just near a switch, you see, which is connected to the powerhouse. When you come near the switch, you come near powerhouse, isn't it? When you go away from the switch, naturally you go away from the powerhouse. You come near a master, you see, who is overflowing with the love of God, you see, when that overflowing love of God, and where naturally he is the mouthpiece of God, naturally you come near him, you see. Well, some people ask, you see, a saint in the East, well, in your eyes, which is the most sacred of all things? In the temples of the, I mean, the Hindus or the others, Buddhists or the Jainis and other holy places of worship, they are most sacred in your eyes. Or the Kaaba and Makkah and Medina of the Prophet of the Mohammedans, which of the two you consider the most? He says, all the same, they are one. You see, because they stand just as an emblem of something, you see, in that song. Then in your, he asks him, Father, what? Father, who do you consider that the most sacred in your eyes? He says, the place where that God makes his appearance, you see. After all, these places of worship are the ideal holy places of worship. They are made of stones, you see. But if this body is made by the hand of man, in which that God resides in every heart, and in whatever heart it has made his appearance, you see, he has become the mouthpiece of God. Well, can he is the most beautiful and most attractive of all, seen in my eyes. So God-man, we are lovers of God, and in whatever how God is just become apparent to guide other men to God, God in man. That is, I think that's a great natural attraction for us, because you can give something which nobody else can give you. He can open your inner eye, he can give you personal experience how to transcend the body, to see things for your own self. So such a sacred personality naturally is dear to us as compared to all others, you see. So such like are the masters, you see. About which people know very little, they are simply confused, you see, when they have so many masters all over here, everywhere. But they do not get the qualifications, you see, out of them what the true master can give. So that's the only criterion that we can love, you see. Through love alone we can have, you see. Yes. So what they teach now, by the way, when you come to such a master, what does he teach? That's it, the little thing over there. Yes, please.
सोच समझ अभिमानी सोच समझ अभिमानी चादर गई है पुरानी.
You say, well, look, you're a man, while you're so much proud, you see, so much elated at your body, you see, this is the body you're wearing on, this is just a cloth you're wearing on, you have to be. Unless you say, I'm very strong man, I'm very beautiful, I'm in man of position, wealthy man, you just walk strut, you see. Why are you doing that? This is a cloth you're wearing and you have to leave off somewhere. Just know who you are, really. Don't be proud of this out of wearing only. Yes.
टुकड़े टुकड़े जोर जुगत से सीते अंग लपटानी टुकड़े टुकड़े जोर जुगत से.
He said, look here, have you ever considered out this glass you're wearing on? What it is? It is just like small bones, you see, knit together. There are so many bones of the body, all knit together and with a covering of skin put there on, that's all. That's all your body. This body is made up of small bones knit together and with a skin covering over all that. That's your body. On that you are so much around, you see. You have to leave something. And it is getting old and old and being worn out, you see. That will worn out, wear out, eh? Torn and finished. Why the product all this? You have to make it clean first, you see. The highest aim of man's life is to see God. And who can see God? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You just have to keep it clean from outside, inside too. But you have simply added further filth and dirt of passions, through passions over it. You wanted to see God, you must be purifying yourself first. You see, a thought of lust, if it crosses, you see, from head to foot you feel feeling like that. The whole body is besmeared with that. The thought of anger just pulls fire throughout your body, you see. The thought of attachment just from head down to foot you feel. So this whole body is just imbued with that thought, you see. We have to keep it clean. And only we would have been able to see God, the aim of our life. You see? This is what Guru Nanak said, you see, just he gives a worldly example to show that a wife wearing on a clothes, very dirty clothes, you see, will her husband just be pleased to see her? No. Similarly said, man who wears on a body which is just in a delusion, he has not differentiated, he does not know who is he. He simply identifies with the body itself, does not know the inner self. And that is further imbued with the color of all kinds of passions. There is such like body. God will never accept such a soul, you see. So that is the life is a stepping stone to spirituality. It is the first thing, needed. The sermon on the mount gave certain things how a man should live in the world. Eightfold path of the Buddhists give also the same. Yama, Niyama, and Sanachara of the Hindus, they also live. So first and foremost thing, if we do like, do have that idea before that to see God, we must be clean, you see. We must have ethical lives. We should not even dream of, you see, even in thought, to harm others. Not even in words, you see, but to speak in action. You have to be truthful. You have to have chaste lives, even in thought, word and deed. And you have to love all humanity because you are lovers of God. God resides in every heart. If you hate anybody, because you think you are holding a high position in life, or you have hoarded very great wealth, or that you are more learned man, that you hate others, no, not it is God resides in every heart. You have to love all and self-centered. I mean, selfless service. Such like life is a necessity for seeing God. He says, instead of doing cleaning this cloth of the body, which is just bones knit together, with a skin covering on, that's all the body. You're there. It amounts to that. Dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. You have to see, wearing on this body, this cloth will wear out after in due course of time, you will have to leave the body. Don't be proud of that, you see. Just keep it clean if you want to see, fulfill the aim of your life. Yes.
Na ye lago jnana ka sabana.
He says, yes, when a cloth is dirty, naturally we want two things, you see. Soap and water. Now what is that soap with this, our body, you see, which is besmeared with the thoughts of lust, anger, etc. That can be clean. That is soap of the world, you see, with the world. In the beginning was the world was with God, and world was God. Thy world resides in heaven, you see, and all the worlds are made by the power of world. That power is called world. I tell you, there's that power of world which is upholding, supporting all creation, you see, maintaining all creation, and is imminent in every form. That power is the word of God, you see. That is its power. And that power is expressed by so many words or names given by the masters who came to the world just to denote some, give some idea about that power. Some called it God, the others called Allah, and the others called so many other names. So that God in action power, you might say, which is resides in every heart, you see. And that is the word, you see. If your soul comes in contact with that power within, that can be contacted only when you transcend the body. I'll take up that subject tomorrow evening in detail, but now only in few words I will tell you that you come in contact with that word within you, which is the cause of all creation, when you come above the body consciousness. that word, you see, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That word has light. And that word has a sound, you see, principle. Sweet symphony, you see. Music are the spheres, as Plato puts it, you see, that is reverberating throughout all creation. When you come in contact with that, all this filth is washed away, you see. But that you can learn, you see, coming in contact with the word, that you can learn in the company of a saint, as a true master. He tells you that it is already resides in you. You have to invert, you have to transcend the body, give your contact thereof. So he says that you have never come in contact with the word within you, and never sat at the feet of some masters who have knowledge, first and knowledge of that, and he can, they can just bring you in contact, give you contact thereof. How can you be purified? There are two ways of purification, you see. One is the outward way, you see, that is by self-introspection. You have to just keep a note of all the imperfections you have and just weed out one by one from day to day. It's the outer side of the being. And the inner side is coming in contact with the divine word within you, you see. Swami Shivdeo Singh says, well, outer imperfections you can just live in the company of a master, through the love of the master. And the inner imperfections, certain imperfections that you will be able to live up when you come in contact with the world within you. You see? This is what also Guru Nanak said, you see, he says, gives example, certain example to show how can we clean our inner life. He says, suppose your hand be smeared with dirt, I mean earth, dust, then you simply wash your hands and that dust is gone. If you besmear your hands or cloth with some dirt, you see, you wash it with soap and that will be clean, you know. And he says, your minds are impure by the lust of passions, then what is the way to clean that? That is only when you come in contact with the world power with you, which is called Nam by Shruti, Yudhi, and other names, by other saints who came in the past. So we say that you have never come in contact with that inner world within you, and you have never sat in the company of a true master. That very atmosphere is charged with that, you see. You get something, vibrations, you see, through that atmosphere. These two things are the helping factors to make you clean from outside and inside. And that you have that, and how can you purify? Just as you see, look to a dog, even when he sits, you see, he just clears the earth first before, with his tail, you see. And if he lies, you see, that God, true God, appears in our heart, can you ever dream he will appear in a dirty house? Never please. So I think a lie is a stepping stone to sleep. This is what the Master teaches, you see. Keep it clean outside. This is the physical body, the true temple of God. Keep it clean outside. Well, outer cleanliness is next to godliness. But you should also keep it clean from inside. It's a holy place of worship, you see, true temple of God. But we are not caring for our inner selves, you see. We are all the day attacked by the passions, you see, sometimes lust, anger, greed, and like that. Guru Nanak says that one place, the man, the body, in which has never been besmeared with the thought of lust and anger, he says that body is the true emblem of God, I bow to him. And that body, you see, God has just made effulgence, then you see, well, walking God on earth, we have respect for such masters. love for that thing. This is what Christ said, you see, God loves the Son, you see, knows the Son, the Son knows the Father. And others whom the Son of Man reveals, the vessels are the Son, you see, having this physical body, no doubt, but they are something else. They are the mouthpiece of God, you see. To whomsoever they do reveal, they see the God. At another place say we should love whom? We have to love. That is our innate, you see, in us. We have love those attachments, you see. If we attach to the outer worlds, we will simply attach to the world and come and go again, you see. We should attach to God, but God we have not seen. Because we have not seen, who? How can we attach to something which we have not seen? So naturally, the pole at which God appears, works, so that is the pole which we have to love, for the sake of God, you see. He says, all right, I am not the body, you are not the leave body, come above, he enters within you and appears to you, talks to you, and lies you there. The Master has got that competency, he is the Master. There you see the raging form of the Master. The ghost loves, grows still stronger, you see, when you go inside and see him, you see. And whenever you come across such a Master outside, you see, what is to the pole of the body, naturally you are drawn nearer to God, you see. He says, for that purpose you must be clean, chaste, pure at heart. Only such people will be able to see God. This is what you must teach him. Guru Amar Das says at one place, well, whose mind is just besmeared with passion, you see. His whole body is dirt, becomes dirt. That very thought, you see, defiles the body. And in Bible I think it is said that those who defile this body, you see, the temple of God, well, God punishes them, you see. And he says, look here, people are just cleaning their outer body by bathing in rivers and doing outer things only. How can that be, they be pure? The people are going amiss. They must keep their inner selves clean. This is where the teaching starts, you see. Another thing to come in contact with the world within you, that you can have only when you come about the body consciousness. You are to born anew and enter the kingdom of God which is within you, not outside. So this is a practical lesson which you learn at the feet of the Master, you see. And for having that lesson, we have to just rise above the body consciousness. And there are ABC here. ABC of their teaching start only from there, not below. You see, you are never sat at the feet of some Master, never come in contact with the two words within, with which all this filth would have been by outer, by self-introspection, due to the love of the Master, you have cleaned outside, and inner self with by coming in contact with the word within you. You see, all this filth, all these impressions from outside come from where? Through the organs of sense. And the Master gives you a, just to start with, to rise above the organs of sense, physical sense. And then all this dirt which comes through these organs, they cease, you see. And further filth, which is already accumulated there, that will clear by coming in contact with the world power within. Yes, that's right. This is the way how to free yourself. See God and come into contact, have personal feeling for that power within you. This is the religion he teaches, you see. He doesn't attack you out of social religion. He says, blessed you are where you stand. Live there.